Hi guys, welcome back to Jared and Cameron's sports podcast. This is our second to last podcast of the year. Let's get started. Harper signed a 13-year deal for $330 million with the Philadelphia Phillies. Jared, first impressions of that deal?
I mean, I think I was right a few weeks ago when I said I think Bryce will go to the Phillies. I just thought it was going to happen at some point. No matter what the Giants or Dodgers could have offered late, I just don't think he could have encapsulated what Philly had done for so long. They really worked this relationship, and I think that was a big thing for Bryce. I think Bryce, for some reason, it just for him, he really wanted to, he wants to be there. Like, he doesn't want opt-outs. Like, Arenado has an opt-out in 3 years if things aren't working out, and that's the risk that the Rockies are taking and that he's taking. Bryce wanted to be committed to a place, and no matter what LA or San Francisco could have offered, they just wasn't going to get that same feeling. Now, I come at this from a standpoint of an Angels fan, where I think it's good and bad, because I definitely think that if Trout gets $400 million, it's a lot harder to commit $400 million when you're already committing $350 million to somebody else. So now you're committing $750 million to two players. That's really difficult. That no matter who the owner is, it's just not an easy thing to do. No matter how far under the cap space you are, you're committing that much money to two players. It's very difficult. But at the same time, Bryce said it in his press conference, you know, like there's a guy coming off the books in 2 years. And we'll see what happens there. I think that the two have become...
He actually did say Trout's name.
Yeah, the two are really good friends. Bryce says that they talked, you know, he talked to Trout a lot before making this decision. I think that they're really good friends. That makes me nervous. But at the end of the day, I hope for the best. I think that the Angels aren't going to go down without a fight. I think that they understand that there is some colluding and there is some ideas that, you know, this is a real-time thing that they have to worry about. But I don't think that they're going to just let him walk.
Just personally, what I think about this is that I think that, like, it is tough to be an Angels fan and stuff like that and, like, think about this and because he does have an AAV of 25 a year. And I do – and that must be really frustrating – for, you know, an Angels fan. But also, I look at this from just a Harper point of view. I'm like, wow, I learned something new about him because, you know, he's turning out to be not so much of an awful, like I don't see him as selfish anymore. I don't see him as the guy that wanted to get $400 million. And there was, like, a bunch of quotes from a couple of years ago about how much money he wanted and stuff like that. And I don't find him as selfish anymore. And also, I just think that, like this is a good deal all around for everyone. You know, this will probably be one of the highest contracts. I don't think it's going to get past that. Maybe for Trout, will be offered $400.
Trout bets, but I don't know how many more players are. Other than, like, inflation, just, like, generally, like, contracts just get bigger as, you know, MLB becomes is a product of more and more money.
Yeah, and
MLB is worth $11 billion. You know, Manfred says he wants to get it to $15 million in the next 7 years. So of course contracts are going to get bigger, but like time matters, and like Harper's contract at this time will probably be one of the biggest ever.
Yeah, and also to that point is like he's going to be there for so long. And the contract isn't as bad as it could be that, you know, like even in 6 years, we can say, oh, can he get Gleyber Torres to come play for him? Ooh, can he get all these rookies that are really good to come, you know, play? And that's what that contract is. It's basically saying, I'm here now and I'm here forever. Come to the Phillies. We're going to have a good team. Nola. Like
the only other minor thing I think is like this. Like Rhys Hoskins is a really good player. I don't think he's like a generational type player. I don't think he's like a perennial all-star starter, like that kind of level. However, I question a little bit of, you know, does Bryce in the back of his mind still think like he wants to be the guy? Wherever he is, he wants to be like he wants it to be Bryce and his teammates.
I don't think Rhys was the guy. I don't think he is that type of guy, to be honest. Like, Harper, when he came up, he was the guy. He was already that leader in that clubhouse. Like, Reese, I'm not getting that vibe from Reese.
No, not from Reese. I'm questioning, does Harper want to be the center of attention always? And if he wants to be, I'm sorry, but if Mike Trout goes to the Phillies, Mike Trout is from Philadelphia. He's the unquestioned best player in baseball. Like, immediately it becomes Mike Trout world.
Well, we did just learn that this 13-year deal, and he's basically putting it out there for everyone to know, you know, come play in Philly with me. And, you know, like, I don't think this has told me that Harper maybe isn't that selfish. I don't know. I definitely think Trout is a player worth $400 million. I definitely think he's the greatest baseball player in the past, you know, 5 years. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. What do you think about, you know, all these contracts? You know, Harper went a different route than these guys, you know, especially with the signing bonus, so he could get extra money this year and stuff like that. Like, overall, what do you find about this, like, the necessities about the contract?
You know, I think that one thing in baseball is, like, these contracts, like, have not worked. Like, you've traditionally been paying the player for what they've done, not what they're going to do. And one guy a few years ago who I was really, like, I really wanted the Angels to go after was Jason Hayward. Because I was like, he's young, going to get better. Like, he was the first, I think, young free agent. Like, yeah. Young top free agent that has not worked out. I think the only contract that without a look of, like, will this be bad in the future is, I think that the Max Scherzer contract, great contract.
Yeah.
Like, and it's worked out really well. I know they haven't won, but, like, it has not been Max Scherzer's fault for why they haven't won. I really think that these types of contracts will change a little bit because, yes, Trout's going to be a free agent. He could have been a free agent when he's, like, 28. He'll be a free agent when he's 29 about. You know, players will be younger. Players that are coming up at a younger age, you know, they will become free agents at a younger age.
Yeah.
That will help. I think that the agents are trying to do what's best for the player. And I think Boris is actually, I don't think Boris loves this contract. I think that this is not that he doesn't, like, love that Bryce got and he's happy for Harper, but I think that thinks that, you know, average value per year matters more than longevity. And I don't know, because you can't tell, you know, Bryce signs a $45 million a year contract with the Dodgers, which was what was, you know, talked about, rumored, that was a report that it came out that that's what he was offered. Who knows how he plays in 4 more years? Does he get that next contract that equals what he could have gotten for 1 year, for, you know, one contract with Philadelphia? I question that.
You know, switching gears a little bit, you brought up Scherzer for a second. You know, the Nationals are still a decent team, right? They're still a team that...
I think they're going to still win the division.
Yeah. A lot of people do. But here we go. People think that Soto is just as good as Harper in their rookie year. So let's look at some stats. Soto last year, 406 on-base percentage, 70 RBIs, 22 home runs. Harper's first year, 340 on-base percentage, 59 RBIs, and 22 home runs. You're basically getting the same amount of production, even better production from Soto, you know, at a younger age. You know, like, there is a future for the Nationals, but, you know, what is their next step? What are they going...
I think that they're actually trying to do something that's, like, unlike the trend in baseball. You know, while everybody's trying to get bullpen guys and that, they're going after the starters. Look at Patrick Corbin. You know, you signed a starter to a contract. Now, one thing that I find is interesting with Soto is, look at this. I'm going to give you statistics for another guy who this was his rookie season, okay? And I want to see if you can guess the player. He played 104 games compared to Soto's 116. This guy hit 19 home runs, 42 RBIs, hit 320, and had a 491 on base percentage. Pretty similar to Juan Soto, right?
Even better on base percentage.
No, a little bit worse. Juan Soto's was 406.
Oh.
But a far better average. Far better
average. Oh, sorry. I must have heard it then. What'd you say? 390?
391 on base.
Okay, I thought you said 491. Sorry.
Okay, but a higher average, a higher slugging percentage, three less homers, but he had like about 20 less at-bats and less RBIs. Who do you think this is?
I don't know. Is it someone that played recently?
Yes. This is Puig.
Oh, really?
So with that, you know, I just want to say, like, everybody loves Juan Soto, and I think he's going to be really good. But Puig was the world in 2013. Like, he was everything. He's regressed. The Dodgers sent him to AAA. They kind of moved on from him. He's really become, like, a 260-ish hitter who hits some homers but doesn't really play every day. Bad on base percentage. Not a great player. Like, a solid starter. Not necessarily what you build your team around.
He's the face of the Reds now, though.
Yeah. Bryce Harper, you know what you're going to get from him. At least you at least know a quarter of what you're going to get from him. Don't just guarantee Juan Soto as a superstar. That's what I would tell, you know, most of the league.
That's true, but, you know, I think that we can get, you know, a little overhyped about, you know, Harper did pan out. Harper panned out in his second year. His second year, he hit.
Also, Bryce Harper was a, like, significant, like, everybody thought this guy was going to be, like, it. He was number one pick, number one everything forever, right? Juan Soto kind of came out of nowhere.
That's true.
People had high expectations of him, but not what this was. Not what Bryce was literally, like, money in the bank first overall pick.
Yeah, and so was Strasburg.
So was Strasburg. They got really lucky. You know, as unlucky as they've been in the playoffs, like, most teams have been hitting on number one overall picks recently, but, like,
you know, the Astros like, were not. Those two, the Mark Capel. Mark Capel is not doing well in the minors. And, you know, some of their guys have just but it's weird. It's weird how, like, some organizations are really able to build up their minor leagues. You know, something that Cashman said recently, which is really important quote, is, like, this is good Yankees, but he said that, you know, a lot of these baseball prospectus and Baseball America magazines, they're looking at AA and AAA guys for their high prospects. But when there's a lot of really good prospects that are in single A or low or high A or low A that are really good and that come out of nowhere. So maybe that's what happened with Soto, because he's only 19 years old, and he did kind of he is from the Dominican Republic, so it'll be interesting. Sure. Say that again.
For sure, definitely. And now looking at the Nationals' contracts, I mean, they don't have a million, you know, they don't have the most money you could think of. It's going to be really difficult to see what they do. You know, Anthony Rendon is a free agent after the year.
Yeah.
Very, it's going to be, you know, and I'm looking at, I didn't know, Steven Strasburg is signed for $38 million this year. Then he has a $25 million player option. Then he has a 15, another 15, and then in 2023, he has a $45 million player option.
45?
I mean, he'll have to have taken 2 years of 15, though, and then to get to the 45.
Either way, 45 is a lot.
45
That's is the highest, yeah, right?
That'll be the, you know, probably the most paid.
That's the most paid because what is, Greinke is 36, I think.
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah, that's a contract that has kind of not worked out either. I mean, it's just such a blank. He's just been so.
That Greinke contract?
Yeah.
He hasn't been as good as he was, but, like, after that year with the Dodgers, like, he was going to get paid.
Yeah, of course. He jumped around a lot. You know,
Zach Greinke has been on a lot of teams. He's kind of been like that ace who couldn't quite just choose a spot.
Yeah, I mean, he's 35 years old and already has, like, what, 14 years in the bigs?
I think he's been in the league since 2004.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's, yeah. That year he had with the Dodgers in 15, he was just unhittable.
Yeah, 19-3, right?
19-3 with a 1.66.
Dang, that's something else. That
is. He didn't win the Cy Young.
He didn't win the Cy Young that year, right?
He finished second to Arrieta.
Arrieta had
that year too. He was 22-6 with a 1.77.
I mean, circling back around to the Phillies now, you know, with Arrieta, they might have the best lineup in the National League.
They may have the best lineup in all of baseball.
No.
It's really good. It's a lot.
I think the Red Sox and the Yankees have better lineups.
I think that the Yankees do when healthy.
Yeah. So they do.
They have Gregorius this year.
No, Gregorius is going to come back, and I even think he's going to come back in June.
I don't think it's worth it because you have the guys. Like, it's not like you're playing, you know, a Shane Robinson-esque player there. Like, you're
playing Tulo and DJ.
DJ LeMahieu is a batting champion.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's glossing over it. Like, oh my, he's a batting champion. You got DJ LeMahieu going to probably play some second base when Gleyber plays short.
People expected LeMahieu to, like, take another step, and he never really did.
Well, people thought the power was going to come.
The power. And it wasn't. He didn't even have that much power for a Colorado guy.
I'm not surprised. He's a contact hitter. He's gonna get the ball. He's good at defense. You know, this is what the Yankees needed. And I think that we have the best lineup in baseball when healthy. Because even I think DJ LeMahieu is just as good as Didi. A little worse maybe, but Didi's a really streaky hitter. Yeah, LeMahieu isn't really that streaky. I was listening to a Colorado beat writer talking about, you know, DJ LeMahieu, and he was saying, like, oh, this guy is never he's streaky. He's just going to – he's one night he's going to go 1-for-4. The next night he's going to go 2-for-4. The next night he might go 0-for-4. But then the next night he'll go one for three again with a couple walks. So he's not crazy inconsistent. But I definitely think that Phillies lineup with McCutchen, Harper, Hoskins, Herrera, just even Segura, and now you have Real Muto. It's like crazy.
It's a pretty hitters friendly park. So like a lot of those guys who have gone from not hitters friendly parks, Segura in Seattle, Real Muto in Miami, and Harper in Washington, they're all going to a pretty heavy hitters friendly park.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Reese Hoskins will be better knowing that he doesn't have to worry about the field. I think that's actually a thing that, you know, is a big thing. Like, if you're spending a lot of time on worrying about playing out in the outfield when you're not an outfielder, you are a first baseman, and then you can just chill out. You're in your normal position.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Moving on. We're going to get to the Lakers right now. Two nights ago, Saturday night, they lost to the Suns by about 5 points, I think, right?
Yeah.
And they they're four and a half back right now of that eighth playoff spot. So you're definitely thinking that the Lakers might be out right now, or you still think they got a chance. Tonight they play the Clippers, who currently hold the eighth? No. The Clippers hold the eighth spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now the Lakers are playing the eighth spot. They have a big game today, 10:30, and they have a big game against the Nuggets on Wednesday. If they can't beat these two teams, their season is likely to be over. Even though they play some under 500 teams in their last, you know, about 15 games of the season. But, you know, looking ahead to tonight, if the Lakers win tonight, you still think they have a chance to be a playoff team?
I think that the Lakers are done. They're done. Last week at this time, they had games against Memphis, New Orleans, Milwaukee, and Phoenix. And I said, all right, they got to go 3 out of 4. Like, I'll give them the break of losing to Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a tough team. That is terrible. That is really bad. Like, you cannot lose to the Phoenix Suns. They're the worst team in the NBA. You can't. I don't care what it is. You cannot lose that game. I think they're done.
I think they're done, too. But I think LeBron is always going to push it. It's going to be close. I hate people saying right now, like, bench him for the rest of the season because, you know, he's going to play his heart out and look bad. Like, who cares if he looks bad? Try and make your team win. You're not playing for a draft pick right now. You're not playing. You're not tanking. You're trying. Like, that 14th spot is just as going to be as good as that whatever spot you get after that. It's not. Exactly. It's not going to matter. Try and make the playoffs. Have LeBron play out the rest of the season. Sell some tickets. Make it close. You know, like, I don't know. I'm just really.
I agree with you 100%.
I mean,
never made sense to not play.
They lost by 5 to Memphis, which, you go, at the beginning of the season, they're a really good team. They traded away, basically, you know, Marc Gasol, traded some of their guys. You know, they're a young team. I mean, they beat the Rockets, I think, what was that, a week and a half ago? But they haven't.
They've a little bit of a fluke game, too.
Like, they, yeah, exactly. They haven't really played, like themselves in a really long time. Max Kellerman said this. I say this. You say this. Lonzo Ball is the forgotten piece of this team. You know.
Yeah.
He's not on the court right now, and, you know, they're struggling without him defensively.
Yeah, he's really a game changer for them. I just think that they're never going to be able to have overcome the whole Anthony Davis situation.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That really hit them. And although, you know, you'd say, like, they're professional athletes, they should be able to deal with this stuff. That was really difficult for them. I think that they really had it, that the players, these guys are, a guy like Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, they've always been told how much they're loved, how much everybody wants them. And this is, like, the first time that they're told, like, we don't need you. You're expendable.
There is some collusion to the fact about, you know, the whole Pop thing that came out that told them not to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers, and the whole thing about you know, all the guys trading almost the whole roster for Anthony Davis. And, you know, that might not be true. But part of me still thinks, like, you guys got to grow up. Like, LeBron is trying to... You see LeBron dancing and stuff with the teammates now and, like, fooling around. He's trying to build some team chemistry, I guess, a little. And trying to, like, be goofy with his guys. But, like...
I think he realizes, like, if he misses the playoffs, they're going to... Like, everyone's going to kill him.
Well, no one... I don't think that team likes him that much. Like, all the teams he's been on, he's been adored.
But you know why? Because those are his guys.
Well, yeah, like, they are his... JR and Tristan were his guys. And also, like, Shumpert and Love was... Love even became, after a while, Love became his guy.
It did take some time.
Yeah, it did take some time. But, you know, Kevin Love is friends with him. And Kyrie was even friends with him for that point. Like... There wasn't that much hate. Maybe there was. But those... He had a solid team around him. Like, I don't think anyone on that team is, like, buddy-buddy with LeBron. Like, crazy. Like, you don't see him and his guys going out, like, partying like him and Wade were back in the days when they were at South Beach. Like, it's a little different now. I think he's grown up. I think these guys are young. And I just don't see him, like, hanging out on a Saturday night with Brandon Ingram. Like, I don't see that happening.
No, I agree.
And
I think it's tough to see what's happened. It really has gone sour for them.
I'm disappointed in it too, that, you know,
this is it. This is all you're going to see for the rest of the year from him.
Well, yeah, no ninth straight championship appearance, like, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, after tonight, when they lose tonight, which they will.
You think that they're going to lose to the Clippers tonight?
Yeah.
I just think that, like, it's literally, like, we're not even asking them to get, like, a top seed. Like, we're asking them to beat a team who traded away its star player.
I know, you say that, yeah.
And a team in the Sacramento Kings who, they try to screw up. Like, the Kings try to play badly. Like, they are a terrible franchise.
You know, it's crazy to think about it that way. Because the Clippers are, they're, what is going on? Like, I don't understand what, something crazy is happening. Because LeBron was out for so long, and then when he came back, the whole AD thing happened. So it was like, there was no coming back from being in that nice spot of that fifth seed, which they were in, yeah, when he got hurt. There was no coming back from it. The All-Star break broke them up too. Probably, like, that was right around then, so players probably still have grudges. And all of this is still going on while they're just losing, and LeBron is like, oh, I gotta do something, so I'm gonna start dancing. Like, I don't know. It's really weird. It's really weird.
It's tough to see what's happened to them.
You know, a little quick news before we head into the Fools talk. Kyrie and the Celtics lost again. They're 3-7 in their last 10. Just some quick words about how they're pitfalling right now. I definitely think that Kyrie is gone after the season. He has lost control. He too has lost control of this team. And can't wait to see what happens with that too. All right, now we're going to head into Fools Mania. Fullstastic off season right now, where a lot of teams were looking at Fools for a while, but it's kind of come out that the Giants have backed out of talks, and it's also come out that Jacksonville is now probably going to sign Fools to a deal.
All signs point to Jacksonville getting Nick Fools, and I think it's an interesting decision, but I don't think that this puts them over the top. I really don't. That division has gotten really good. Like,
yeah,
they are. Like, I don't see this beating Indianapolis, and I don't see this beating Houston. I'm sorry, I just don't see him coming in there, you know, beating Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson. Not with. And if the Colts have a really good offseason, which I think that they will. I really like what they have, you know, in cap space. They could make a big splash in free agency. I'm not saying that they should get Le'Veon Bell. I'm thinking that they could.
They could. I don't think they will. I think that this kind of, you know, Blake Bortles is such at the level of being a great backup QB or being a bad starting QB. And this is just a step forward from that. You know, Fools is great under pressure. You know, he's going to be in a different city than Philadelphia, and we'll see how that changes. A different coach, different players. He loves, oh my God, I almost said Peyton. But anyway, he loves the Eagles. Now if he goes to Jacksonville, it's going to be a different vibe. It's going to be a different franchise, not a winning franchise, really, per se, but... You know, we're going to see him play with some really good players. They still have their group guys. What's going to happen to Bortles now? We don't know.
Bortles is gone. Bortles is done. He's done being signed by a team and being a starter for that team. I could easily see Bortles signing with, you know, a team to be a backup. I think he's a solid backup quarterback. Not much more than that. Not anymore.
I'm kind of surprised because, you know, he is done. You know, he had a great season 2 years ago when they were one quarter away from going to the Super Bowl, basically. And personally, I think Foles is going to play great in Jacksonville. He's going to be the guy once again. I'm really excited for it. I think that that division is crazy now. That division is still good.
Really is.
Well, I mean, here we go. We got, listen to these quarterbacks that are on each team. It's Watson, Luck, Mariota, and now Foles. That's like, in itself, that could be an all-star. Maybe not Mariota, but that's like a Pro Bowl team right there. Like,
yeah,
it's like a really good, you know,
division. That's a really solid division.
It's gonna be tough to come out of the division. It's I definitely think that's better than the AFC North.
AFC North is a bad. We'll get to that later, but I think that Nick Foles, he'll help out Jacksonville. At least he should. It should be an interesting season for them. Yeah. They were definitely the most disappointing team in football last year. I think people, without a doubt, had huge expectations for that. People really thought that they were going to be maybe Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, I definitely thought that they were going to come out of that division just because I didn't believe in Houston. But
yeah, and then Houston gets off to an 0-3 start, and Jacksonville's like 2-0 after beating the Patriots.
Yeah, I know. You would think that they would have gathered momentum from that, but I think Bortles, something happened probably that we don't know about.
Hey, I mean, as a Raiders fan, this happened to us the year before. Like, everybody was like, "Oh, Carr is back from injury. It's all going to be great." We were two and oh, and then we get pummeled by the Redskins, and everything just goes downhill from there, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's what football is, though, because you can get in those really bad slumps in a season if you're not, you know, performing well, especially if, you know, you don't have a crazy good quarterback to lift you up, like Bortles. Like, he wasn't crazy good.
That's why I think that what the Patriots have done is even more amazing.
Special.
So hard to have continued success in the NFL. Like, we have so many years where, like, a team is really good, then is not good, then is back again, and a lot of mediocrity between seasons. The New England Patriots, year in and year out, are just a very solid team.
I think, here's what I'm betting. I'm betting over under 9 wins for Foles and the Jaguars.
I could see maybe. I think under. I think that they finish 7-9, 8-8.
Really? I see them as a playoff team. I don't think Houston is going to be that good anymore. I don't know. We don't know. Because we could always see something great. But remember those two wild card spots, too.
Two wild card spots, but hear this out. The Jaguars, they play the AFC West and the NFC South. So they're going to have to play the Chiefs, Saints, Chargers, Panthers, Falcons, you know.
Yeah.
Those are not easy games. Outside of the fact that they already have to play the Texans and Colts 4 times, and the Titans always play them really well.
That's true. Titans always give them a run. I feel like those are always really interesting games.
It's always like that Thursday night game. They always have.
It's weird. All right, you're gonna lead us into our last segment, right, Jared?
Yeah. So right now we're gonna just go through some speed stuff. I'm gonna ask you, Cameron, what is your biggest prediction, biggest thing that happens in NFL? NBA and MLB. It could be something big like this team wins the World Series or something like this team makes a wild card or whatever. What do you think?
All right, so starting with the NBA, I think the craziest thing that's going to happen is that Houston will run it. Will Houston or OKC, either one, will give the Warriors a Game 7 in in the Western Conference Finals. I definitely think that either whoever beats each other, because it will be OKC or Houston, whichever team gets to that point, they will give the Warriors a run for money. First of all, because I think OKC plays better than they have in the past 3 years. This is the best they've played. I definitely also think that the Rockets are kind of getting in a groove, and they're kind of coming into their own despite not having Ariza or Luke Bamute. So I definitely think that either one of those teams will give the Warriors for a run of their money. Two, MLB. What I got here is actually pretty, it's not crazy thinking, but I think that I will see the Mets. We will see the Mets, and we will see the Nationals for those two wild card spots in the NL.
So three teams coming out of the East.
Yeah. I see Phillies. No, wait, did I say Nationals? I meant Braves. Braves, Mets, and the Phillies. I see the Nationals, like, barely missing it.
Having a disappointing season and falling, you know, kind of out of it.
Who do I see?
You don't see the Braves, you know.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't, because I think they got the same guys, right? I actually think, this is what I should have said, I think they're going to sign Kimbrel.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to do it, just because I think that he's the last guy out on the market that they can really, you know, push for, and I think he's looking for the money. I don't think the Braves will be hesitant in giving him an $80 million deal. Maybe he'll want to come back home. It's not really home. Is it home? Kind of.
Sort of.
Anyway, and for NFL, this is a weird one. I see Robert Kraft going to jail. I see him going to jail, because, like, this is just, it's going to be, unless he takes a plea or something where he has to do community service or something. But I just, this is awful. The man is going to go to jail. Robert Kraft is going to jail. Oh, my God. All right, what are yours?
So, I'll start with the MLB. I may have said this a little bit before, but I'm going to say it again. I think that the two AL wild cards are whoever doesn't win the division in the East, so Yankees or Red Sox, and the Minnesota Twins.
Mm.
I see Oakland kind of coming down to earth. I see Tampa Bay falling under 500. I'm really not a fan of the Rays. I think that they had their most success last year later in the season, when they're playing teams who are kind of like, some teams are kind of out of it in August, like early August, and they don't really exactly have enough to play for except for themselves and their contracts. I think that they took advantage of that because they're all young guys. I think that they struggle. They have to play the Yankees and the Red Sox 19 times, 18 times a year. That's not easy. Really not easy. I think that they struggle there. And I like the Twins. I really like a lot of these bounce back candidates. I like Marvin Gonzalez. I like Jonathan Schoop. I think Buxton is having the best spring out there, maybe. Sano has a bounce back year. I liked their pickup last year of Odorizzi. Didn't necessarily pan out. I think it could this year. I think that the Twins have a really good chance of being a contender. To go to NBA, I say that the Nuggets are out in the second round.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I think that if the season ended today, they would get to play like the Spurs in the first round. I think that or the Clippers, you know, the seventh seed. I think that they beat them pretty handily. But I just don't think that they're exactly big time enough for the NBA playoffs. Jokic is good and all, but can he, you know, in the playoffs you need your star player. Charles Barkley says it's best. Like, when you're a star player on the road, you go into the opposing place and you tell your guys, you know, come with me. You're behind me tonight. I'm taking us there. Like, I don't know if Jokic can do that, and I don't know if these complimentary players are enough. You got, like, Murray, he's good. I easily could see them losing to a Oklahoma, a Portland, or a Houston, if that's the case.
Portland, so, yeah. I see them losing to all of those teams.
But I also think Boston Celtics, NBA Finals.
What?
I think that they just care about the playoffs. I think that they'll get right for the playoffs. The thing in the NBA
Jeez.
playoffs is, like, anybody can win on one game. It's tough to beat a team four times.
That is insane for you to say because, you know, I think the Sixers are far better than last year.
Yes, but I don't think
And
Philadelphia can beat Boston. I don't think that they know how to. I don't think
that's true. You
Philadelphia is made
always
for
say
that.
that to me. But, you know, also, I sit here and I look back and I go, what about Toronto? They got Marc Gasol coming off the bench.
Toronto, Kyle Lowry, probably the worst playoff superstar ever.
Okay. He's not a superstar, first of all.
All-star.
Okay, maybe. Second of all, you have the claw. I can't. Wow. You still say finals?
I still say Boston makes it to the finals.
That is okay. I can't. That's really crazy for you to say that. I feel like they have just as good as a chance right now. I don't think Brown. You're right about Brown. He thinks he's better than he is. You know, I think Hayward isn't that good anymore. He's really bad. He is not worth that money after he got hurt. Maybe we'll see next year if he can really bounce back. You know, I think Kyrie is in shambles. I don't think that team is in cohesion. Okay, you go. You go for your NFL.
I like Horford. I think he's good. For NFL, I think this is kind of becoming like a trendy thing, and I want to get ahead of it before it becomes a real big thing. I think the Cleveland Browns win their division.
Huh? Yeah.
I don't like Baltimore. I think that they are a little getting old. I don't trust Lamar Jackson for a whole season. That thing can happen for a half a season. I don't think it's sustainable. They could lose CJ Mosley. That'd be a big loss to their defense. Don't like where they're going. Pittsburgh is about to lose Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown.
Pittsburgh is done. Pittsburgh is
Pittsburgh is
done.
in real trouble. And the Bengals, they don't have a quarterback. So I don't like where Cincinnati is. Cleveland, you have cap space. You have the best quarterback in that division. You have
You say
arguably.
Mayfield's the best quarterback in that division?
I think he's better than Lamar. I think he's better than Dalton. And I think he's better than Ben.
I don't think he's better than Big Ben, but anyway.
And I think you may have the best defensive player in that division, Myles Garrett.
Miles Garrett is really
They
good.
have other guys on the defensive side, too. Joe Schobert. They have Christian Kirksey. Really strong team. I think that this is their time to kind of. This is a. I really do feel like this is a new Browns organization.
I mean, we'll see. Those are some bold picks. You know, especially your NBA and NFL ones.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll
Every week.
definitely play a lot of. Hey, this is the best time in sports, you know.
About to
NBA
be.
starting to pick up.
March Madness about to
Free
start.
agency, March Madness. It's really. And then once it gets to April and May and June, I can't wait for some NHL and NBA playoffs.
Yeah, and also in the beginning, opening day is less
Opening
than a
day,
month
MLB
away.
season starts up.
Three weeks away. All right, thanks for listening, guys. That was a wonderful podcast. We'll see you on Wednesday. Hopefully, we'll have some guests on the show. Peter Martin. Hopefully. anyway, thank you. Have a nice day.